Good morning. Earlier this spring, I had a couple episodes where I was up all night and my heart was just burning. I didn't feel good. I wasn't sure what was wrong with me. Are we good here on the sound? Just check that. Yeah. But anyway, as it was night and I would just not be able to fall asleep, I had a couple of days like that in a row. And I figure that I'm probably going to be one of those dummies that has a heart attack or a stroke and doesn't go to the doctor because I think I could just tough it out. So I just kept thinking about that. Okay, you're in your 40s now. It's possible for something like this to happen. And I remember after it happened a few times, and I just felt like my chest was on fire. And I stayed up that night thinking, should I go to the hospital or not? And I was searching the internet and finding a lot of things to worry about. And so when my family woke up the next morning, I finally came clean that my heart was hurting, that I had this severe pain. And I talked to Jenny and I prepared her. I said, I think I'm going to the hospital today. But before I do, I'm going to call my doctor. And so I'll tell you about what ended up happening, but I'll just say that I have some heart problems. Should I leave this a cliffhanger or go ahead and finish it now? You guys want to know? Well, Caleb is not here. He's usually my cliffhanger person. So, Caleb, I hope this is okay. We're not going to have a cliffhanger today. But my heart problems have nothing to do with my physical heart, fortunately. My physical heart's fine. The doctor listened to my symptoms and said, you just got heartburn. No big deal. And that's all it was. And maybe some panic and anxiety, too, to go with it. But my physical heart is fine. But my heart, my spiritual heart, I have some heart problems. And there is one of my favorite hymns, a classic hymn that, ironically, Pastor Brandon used last week. And some of the words say, let that goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And I don't know if you can resonate with those words, but I can. And some of you might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like a pastor. Like, you're prone to leave God. Aren't you supposed to be faithful? And you're right. I'm probably not a good pastor. But I know in my heart that I'm capable of evil. I'm capable of doing wrong. I know that there's some things in my heart that just aren't right sometimes. And that I have heart problems. The last time I spoke, we talked about a prophet named Jeremiah who wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And I want to ask you a question here with this. I love how Jeremiah phrases this. Say it again. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Have you ever been led astray by your heart? Have you? I mean, maybe sometimes following your heart has led to some of your biggest regrets, things that you wish you would have never done, maybe relationships that you never wish you would have had, because they left some scar. Maybe your heart has led you to do some really foolish things. Again, but maybe too, following your heart has led to some of your greatest adventures and your deepest joys and relationships. So, like, who can understand it? Should you just follow your heart? I mean, that's kind of popular advice right now, just follow your heart. But most of us have done that and been burned from it. And most of us have done it and reaped great fruit from it. So what's the deal with these hearts? Who can understand it? So we're going to start by looking a little bit more into that Hebrew prophet, Jeremiah. He died somewhere around 570 BC, and he left behind some writings. Jeremiah was, he lived during a time that they call the exile period, where the people of Israel were exiled into Babylon. So he was kind of that last generation that was in Israel before the people were exiled into Babylon. And so he had a lot to say. So one of the writings that he said too was that he was predicting something that was coming. And Jeremiah says this: "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time." So this is something that was coming in the future. I mean, this is back, again, 570 or earlier. This is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So these hearts that maybe are above all deceitful, Jeremiah told of a time that was coming when the law would be written on hearts. Jeremiah had a contemporary who was in that exile time named Ezekiel. And Ezekiel said it like this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Another word that he used, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit. Again, remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. So during this time of exile, it was a real dark time, a real confusing and sad time for the people of Israel. And the prophets were pointing to a time in the future. That same prophet who said the heart's deceitful above all else also said there's going to be a time when there's going to give you a new heart. There's a New Testament book called Hebrews, and the Hebrews references some of the things that Jeremiah wrote about the new heart. And in that, we can see that the author of Hebrews, which was written after Jesus had died and resurrected and ascended, was talking about what it means to follow Christ and maybe how Christ fits in with the Hebrew scriptures. And this writer of Hebrews was writing how Jesus was the one who ushered in this time of a new covenant when God would write the law on our heart, give us new hearts and a new spirit. So the prophets, the Hebrew prophets, and the take in the words of the author of Hebrews, the Hebrew prophets existed to point us toward the prophet of prophets, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they're pointing us to Christ and something that he would do. So Jesus came 500 plus years after Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And unlike those two prophets, Jesus left us no writings behind. He didn't write anything down that we still have. But instead of leaving some writings behind, what Jesus left behind were people. People who were eyewitnesses to what he did and what he said and how he came back from the dead. And to spread the message of what Jesus did and how he came back to life and what he taught. And those witnesses, a lot of their writings are preserved in the New Testament scriptures. Jesus famously had 12 disciples who he spent 3 years with, and they followed him really closely. And some of those names probably couldn't, a lot of us couldn't name all 12 of them, or maybe we could only name a couple of them. But there's probably one disciple that almost all of us could name, or if we're thinking of the 12 disciples, there's probably one name that floats up to the top. So let's go ahead and test my theory. What name would come to as one of the 12 disciples, so Paul is not in this, but as one of Jesus' 12 disciples, which one stands out as the most famous one? Jesus' right-hand man. Peter, okay. Peter's the only thing I heard, so if you said something else, I didn't hear it, but that was my hypothesis, so I was looking to confirm it. But Peter was Jesus' right-hand man. And so today I thought it would be good to look at some of the writings that Peter gave us. He spent time with Christ, the prophet of prophets. Some of the things that he said about the heart, because he used some language similar to Jeremiah. And those words are, above all, he used that one, and he talked about the heart. So we're going to look at a couple of writings that Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, gave us. That's kind of similar to Jeremiah. So he says in 1 Peter 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. This is the same heart that Jeremiah said was deceitful above all, maybe, or maybe it's the new heart, but another thing that Peter wrote is, above all, there it is again, above all, Jeremiah said, above all, the heart is deceitful, above all things. But Peter said, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. when we kind of balance out or take into consideration the things that Jeremiah and the things that Peter said, I think we can see that that the law that Jeremiah was talking about that's written on the heart, it's kind of like a line from a Christmas hymn, O Holy Night. His law is love. His gospel is peace. What's written into the heart of a person who follows Jesus, God writes love. Love is the law. So the question today I want to ask, so what's coming out of the heart? Is it deceit? Or is it love? Or is it something else? Because you may be like me. I mean, and a lot of times my biggest challenge to speaking is the heart. If there's something wrong in the heart, it's not right to come up and speak. So sometimes, and there was a time fairly recently when I was really struggling with anger. Like I was bitter. And I was needing to go speak. And it just, I couldn't do it. And I had to solve this thing that was in my heart, because it's not always really easy just to get that anger, that bitterness out when it takes root. But what is in that heart? What's coming out of the heart? This is something to think about and reflect on. Now, according to Jesus, the heart did have potential for evil. Because Jesus says this, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, or slander. Those are actions that come out of the heart. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our hearts have, what's going on in our heart eventually comes to the surface, either in words or in actions. But Jesus acknowledged that there's potential in our hearts for evil. But he also said other things about the heart. He said things like, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart. So that the heart is capable of deceit, the heart is capable of evil, of sin, and the heart is capable of love and what is good. So, the heart, according to all these prophets here, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Jesus, Peter, the heart can be used for, can be evil in the heart, there can be deceit in the heart, there can be love. So let's think a little bit more about maybe what Peter meant when he was talking about love each other deeply from the heart. Peter says this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I love this here because he gets to the heart of the matter. And he talks about an action of love, offering hospitality, welcoming somebody, serving somebody. But if grumbling is involved, what is that a sign of? That's a sign that the heart's not in it, right? It's not wholehearted hospitality. And he's reminded to get to the heart of it, to get to the motives, to get to our desires and what's driving us. Because Jesus, when he came and he talked about what we believe and what we do and also what we desire, he called us to be people who seek first the kingdom of God, who desire what is good. And sometimes that's hard. And grumbling is one of those things that reflects we got some sort of a heart problem or that the heart's not quite in it. And according to Peter, there's a reason that God gives us certain gifts, and it's not just so we look special or we stand out, but the gifts that we receive are not to be kept, but they're to be given. So whatever we have, like a healthy heart receives and it gives. Or if there's a blockage on one end, it just doesn't work. If we block from receiving it, or if we block from giving, we start to have heart problems. Another well-known follower of Christ named Paul said it like this. The only thing that counts, that's a pretty extreme statement. Again, we've got some pretty extreme statements. Above all, words like that. Now this thing, now Paul's saying they're the only thing that counts. There's one thing that really counts. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, in the end, probably a lot of the stuff that we worry about, a lot of the stuff that we get angry about, a lot of the issues that we have, it's going to pass away and it's going to be gone. But there are a few things that are going to remain. Paul had a list of faith, hope, and love. And he talked about how the greatest of these is love. So what's really going to remain as we look at our hearts and maybe what our hearts are weighed down with, what's going on in our hearts, what kind of heart issues we have, whether it's giving or receiving, that the only thing that really counts, he's saying this is really important, is faith expressing itself through love. So this morning, if you feel the Spirit of God pulling you toward purpose, pulling you toward a life that matters and life that means something and living for what's really not going to pass away, if you want to experience that faith that expresses itself through love, that faith in Christ, if you want to take that step in faith today, I want to invite you to just pray this prayer with me, this invitation to follow Christ. God, I believe that you exist and that you reward those who seek you. Right now, I turn to you with all my heart to follow Jesus. Thank you that you have come so that we might have life, new life, abundant life, eternal life. Holy Spirit, help me to live out faith that expresses itself in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what we do and what our mission is, it's about making disciples who make disciples. We're all trying to follow Christ and pour out into others to help. We're building relationships to help people trust and obey Christ. So that's what this church is about. That's our mission. That's what we're focused on. And so what's a practical way that we can do this? I want to turn back now to Peter. 2 Peter 1:5, he says, make every effort to add to your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. Now, sometimes it seems like maybe faith or believing is just a cop-out or just not just letting go of everything and not really doing anything. It's just trusting that everything will work out. And there's a place for that surrender and trust and all that, and sometimes just to quit trying and let God take over. But following Jesus requires effort. Jesus even said in Luke 13, he says, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. So following Christ, there is an effort. And Peter challenged people to make every effort to add to your faith. Don't just wait for it to come naturally. G.K. Chesterton said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. And sometimes I think the reason why maybe people give up on their faith in Christ, maybe there's something awful that happened, and if that's you, I'm so sorry that happened, and maybe that makes sense, and we are sad with you. But I think maybe a lot of the reasons why people give up on following Christ is not because they tried it and they did it, but because they never really put much effort into it. There was not much of an effort to pray. There was not much of an effort to seek the Word of God, the life-giving Word of God in the Scriptures. There wasn't much of an effort to repent or to search or to seek. Peter says, make every effort. And let's look at that again. So I think as we apply this, like how to live in love, it just doesn't happen automatically. Like it requires some effort. There's some things that love requires of us. So that question is so good. What does love require of me? It requires an effort. And listen to how Peter says this. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Whew, that's a hard one. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. If we keep having these, it's going to keep us from being unproductive. So as we think about this, the most excellent way of love, Paul called it again, that most excellent way, it requires not just a half-hearted effort, but a wholehearted effort. Jesus clearly taught to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And we're challenged to be people who examine our hearts and let God at work in who we are. Even though all of us have had heart problems at times, God wants to work. So this most excellent way of love, again, it requires a wholehearted effort. So seek good. And we want to challenge each other to make every effort to add the ingredients of love, the goodness, to live good lives, godliness, to mutual affection, to have mutual affection for each other, and the love that is patient and kind, doesn't envy and doesn't boast. So let's challenge each other to make every effort to grow and add to our faith that expresses itself in love. Now, if you make every effort, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if we keep adding, making the effort, if we keep following Christ, if we keep praying and don't give up, if we keep seeking with our whole heart, if we keep doing this, our lives will count. They'll keep us from looking back and saying, my life was unproductive, or my life didn't really matter much. It'll keep us from lives of purposelessness and selfishness. Our lives will count. And we'll see that love's more than a feeling. Love is stronger than death. Love is bigger than sin and anything in its way. And that love never fails. Because in the end, what remains is faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And we will never regret it. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Everything good comes from you, the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We give thanks to you because you are good and your love endures forever. Our lives on earth are temporary, as our bodies will one day decay. Our minds are corruptible and our hearts can sometimes deceive us. And so right now, we set our hearts and our minds on things above. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us use our hearts not for evil, but for good, for love. Help us, above all, to love each other deeply from the heart. Remember that in the end, what remains is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.